Good morning, this is Danger Dan here in the Talk Shop. I am deep in the heart of Texas, deep in the bottom of Paladuro Canyon. I'm headed to the Twin Cities for the Full Tilt Boogie, the fifth stop of Danger Dan's International Kickstart Competition. I hope to see you there. Today's podcast is with my friend Jeffrey Sines, who's been on the show before. It's been about 3 or 4 years. I'll have a link to the past show in the podcast. Different circumstances at that point. Jeffrey is a savage and a saint. The attitude that he has carried since his incident has been, it's been very inspirational. I can't imagine being able to go through something like that and having a better attitude about it than Jeff. He's an incredible dude, put through incredible circumstances, and is persevering like, the man we all aspire to be. So, and I can't imagine how much help, it's taken from his support. He's obviously has a great support system around him, which you need for something like that. And, he's persevered and come through this, and he's still doing what he loves, and he's doing everything a little bit differently, but he's still doing it, and it's wicked to see. So I hope you enjoy this story and capture some inspiration from it. If you want to help him support other burn victims, he is doing a yearly show called the High Voltage Show. It's actually happening this Saturday night at the Double Wide. Him and the Texas Gentleman, who is, a collection of some of my favorite local musicians, making some of the raddest music, and have been for years. These guys have just been doing awesome creative things, and I've always been stoked to see what they do. So if you're in the DFW area this weekend, go check it out. It's going to be wicked cool. If you're going to be in the Midwest, you should see me outside Minneapolis at Full Tilt Boogie. Thanks to Heavy. Each person that wins one of these Kickstart competitions throughout the year, and there's only a handful left, is getting a fresh pair of White's boots. After Full Tilt Boogie, we'll be going to Sturgis for the Sportster Showdown with Lead Sled Customs. And there's a lot going on at Sturgis. Hair Scramble brought to you by Flat Out Friday. The Mama Tried guys have got an exhibit going all week long at the Full Throttle. I'll be doing shows at, we're doing a Bikini Beach show at Buffalo Chip, the first ever of its kind within the Buffalo Chip on Wednesday. Thursday, we're doing the ride from Nemo to Deadwood, all dirt. It's going to be wicked cool. Harley Davidson's going to cover breakfast and lunch for us, which is super fucking rad. We got Sweeto Burrito to cap it off, and then maybe even find a fucking swimming hole after that, dude. It's going to be cool. I hope you guys are going to be at Sturgis. After Sturgis, the Stupid Chopper Show in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then Chopper Fest in Kansas City, and then we'll finish it out at Born Free, Texas, where I'll give everybody one last shot to win one of these sets of boots. And then we're going to bring all the winners together on Saturday night and see whose bike starts the best from all the winners of all year. Wicked fucking cool. I want to thank Lowbrow, Cheap Thrills, and MC Shop Tees for helping me make all this happen. And I want to give a special shout out to Kelvis. Kelvis does some wicked art. He does a shirt for me a few times a year. And, he helped me conceive this idea to bring all these winners together and do like a final kickoff. So thank you for helping me do that. This show, like all shows, is brought to you by mcshoptees.com. Your T-shirt of the month club, the only way to support every local motorcycle shop. That's right. Help me each month feature a different shop from around the country. I send out a custom shirt, one-off print, never to be printed again, with a postcard that tells you about the shops, where they're at, what they specialize in, and how you can get a hold of them. This month's shop is, what is it? Oh, Zito Cycles, dude, who I just did a podcast with, Joe Zito. Wicked cool cat. I don't feature too many Triumph specialty shops, but he definitely, or British, he specializes in British bikes, but I've seen what he's worked on. He can work on a fucking hog too. So, and he's a rad dude. He's a rider. You know, when he ain't wrenching, he is racing or riding, which I love. You know me. I love fucking riding. So, wicked cool to feature Zito Cycles. And I hope that you were signed up, because if you weren't signed up by the beginning of this month, then you just got to get signed up so you don't miss out on next month's featured shop. So, yeah, that's it. I'm fucking going to take the family on a little joyride through here. The sun is just coming up. It's crazy how green it is right now. I mean, I was telling my kids, they may never in their lifetime ever see Palo Duro Canyon so green in July for the rest of their lives. It's fucking insane. You can tell floodwaters have come through here. You know, I'm like, as we're coming in late last night, I'm like, fuck, you know, are there clouds out? There's been a little bit of some flash flooding in Texas if you've been paying attention. So, you know, it's definitely pulling up the radar and the weather app to see what we had forecasted for the night, but it looked good, and we had an incredible night. So get out, go ride your motorcycles. I'm headed to the mountains to ride my motorcycles. I'm going to fly into Minneapolis on Friday and jump on a Dyna, thanks to Zach over at Heavy. And, dude, I want to rip around for a little bit before I land at the party. We'll do the Kickstart competition on Saturday. You can follow at Full Tilt Boogie to figure out what time. And, yeah, I hope that you enjoy this motherfucking podcast with my boy Jeffrey. Thank you. I felt, you know, it was a sick trip to California. It's going to kill it. Going to go down.
Okay.
We've got to get into it.
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
But yeah, you know, some people do need a little handout.
And that's fine, you know?
It is.
I'm here for it, because you want to know what? Like, not just like after my accident, but people have shown up for me my whole life, you know?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people who've like tried to, you know, fucking pin me down or push me around, but like, dude, people, it's crazy how, like, you know, you're the guy that's like, oh, don't worry about it, I got your burger or I got your beer or whatever, and then, you know, 2 years down the line, like, you don't have the money for the burger or the beer, and all of a sudden people are like, I got your burger, I got your beer, whatever, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And dude, yeah, like, when after the accident though, that shit blew my mind.
Honestly, it was it. You know, it's tough for me. I'm just over here, like, not suffering from any of that. But, like, it was tough to see and hear about, you know? Like,
oh, I'm sure, dude.
It was
I'm
like, sure. Holy shit, Jeff, you know? Like, I mean, you're, this is what you, you know, you need these for everything you fucking do.
Yeah.
Everything you derive joy from, you know?
Yeah,
it takes
yes.
having arms.
And hands, yeah. Fuck yeah. Like, yeah, for real.
All right, so tell people, catch people up to speed. Because last time, you know, what... You know,
I mean, we were just talking.
You
about
were right over there. You had arms.
And
we were talking
and, yeah,
motorcycles
totally.
And rock and roll.
Fuck
yeah.
Damn. And I'm still talking choppers and rock
we
and roll.
We haven't stopped. Yeah, we have.
Fuck. Like, that does not stop.
It's so funny, dude. I call you up. I send you a text. I just feel bad even like why am I trying to make him use his phone? Do I just need to drive over there?
Dude,
you know? Like,
no.
I mean, that's how I
hey,
think about it.
Hey, you want to know something? This is just a quick little anecdote, but this is just how it is, right? Today, like, you know, my wife is cleaning out drawers in our kitchen in our house, and like trying to, you know, we all have the catch-all drawer in the kitchen.
Everybody,
she's just trying to like do like the routine cleanup of the catch-all, mm-hmm. you know, and I've got like a handful of like little like tool set things in there, little bag of like mini screwdrivers and shit, and I've got this little kit that's got like a, it's kind of like a T-handle ratchet kind of deal with all these heads.
Yeah, a bunch of
and I can actually grab it pretty good with my hook and
okay.
like use it pretty good.
Perfect.
You know, so I'm carrying that, I'm carrying this little Craftsman like little like, you know, screwdriver set and this bag of mini screwdrivers out to the garage, and I fucking drop that little ratcheted set and about 60 fucking heads just spill out all over the ground, and I'm just like, fuck, And I could have called her over, and I could have said, "Hey, baby, you know, can you help me with this? Can you help me with this?" You know. And I sat there, and I had to grab, probably because I was a little frustrated, but I had to grab each one of those stupid little heads, like the tiny little Torx ones.
I know exactly.
Because I have to grab them from the side that's not going in the hole, you know, that they fit into. Yeah. So that's a tiny, and like I'm just grabbing these things, and they're not. It's not, I'm not grabbing them the right way, and I'm this and that, and it's hard, whatever. But you want to know what? I did it. I picked every one of those motherfuckers up, and I'm not saying that they went back into their right spot in that case, but they all went in that case, and that case got the lid shut, and it went in the garage. So that's just my little bit.
I love
day,
how positive you are about that.
It's just like I had a, you know, it's all forks in the road, man. I had a choice in that moment, and I knew it. And it's been a hard day, no lie. And I was just like, I can let this do it
to
me.
It's so easier to use your toes.
Or I can just, I can just like fucking do this. Uh-huh. And I did it, and that was that. So.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it really, I mean, yeah.
It's just picking little, you know, little.
I know, but it's you've been doing this for a while now. I mean, this has been years.
Yeah.
And you're still like, okay, this is fine, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Got to. Have to.
That's incredible. All right, so there's a storm?
No, there was no storm. That's a common misnomer or it's reasonable, you know?
Just, okay.
There was no storm. It was a beautiful day, and I mean, I've looked back at the weather. I've seen what it looked like and all that and the reports, whatever. I know that it was beautiful because we were starting a record with this country artist, Kendall Marvel. Really, really talented dude, like co-writes with Chris Stapleton, and just his songs are incredible. He's awesome. And we're starting a record with Kendall. Well, when I looked up Kendall, when I heard about him a few months prior, I saw his album cover from before this, and he's sitting on a like fucking panhead chopper that apparently belonged to Dan Auerbach, who did his record before this.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh fuck, I'm riding to work, right? Like,
yeah.
And Bo, my partner who's producing the record, I was engineering. Like, Bo and I had talked about it. I think I still had my 76 Shovelhead FLH, but I had a couple bikes, and yeah. I was like, man, we're gonna go riding one morning, you know, just go someplace out in the country and, you know, get outside of Dallas and grab some breakfast and come back and get to the studio in time to work. So I wanted to ride my chopper at work, and I remember being super bummed because the weather was beautiful, but I had to bring these like two or three guitars that I had at my house to the studio. And I was like, fuck. Like, I got to drive, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was bummed about it. So I drove my car to the studio. And, you know, like some of my like really good buddies, Mackenzie Smith, Scott Lee, Nick Bockrath from Cage the Elephant was on guitar. And this is like killer cast of dudes. And Kendall was amazing, and Bo, you know, it's one of my best friends. We had a killer first day, right? And I peaced out so I could, you know, day was kind of, everything was wrapping up, and I peaced out so I could get home and try to, like, catch the last moments of my family being awake before they all went to bed.
Yeah.
Got home in time to see my mother-in-law and her sister who was in town visiting for a second, and to have a little dinner that Monica made and help put our daughter to bed, and phew, lights go out. And it's just like different. There's something weird about it. And we're just kind of going around, kind of trying to figure out, you know, like, oh, well, where's the flashlight? You know, I've got a lighter in my hand and I'm trying to find some candles to light just to like get to the point where we can just go to bed and crash, forget about it, wake up in the morning, power will be back on, right?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's bedtime for most of the family. Let's just go to bed and forget about it and wake up and the microwave will be flashing and whatever. So, you know, we're doing that, and I we live on a kind of a main street in our neighborhood. The kind of thing that, you know, when you see sirens, hear sirens, when there's something happening, you can kind of walk out, kind of look up and down the street and kind of see what's going on, you know? Mm-hmm. We're not tucked back in on any block or anything. And so I walk out the front door, you know, to see what was going on, because it, like I said, it was just different. It just seemed different. And I walk out the front door. The first thing I notice is that it is just like the pitchest black, like the blackest black I've ever seen anywhere where I've ever lived. I've been in fucking Terlingua in the, you know, middle of the night. I mean, it was darker than that, dude. And the reason for that is that the moon wasn't even in the sky yet.
Oh, yeah.
I looked this up later, and I found out that moonrise wasn't until about 2 hours after that. Yeah, so it was dark as fuck. There was no clouds in the sky, so the moon couldn't even reflect off the clouds from below the rise, whatever. Pitch black. And I know that I was walking towards that main street to kind of just see if I could see what was going on. And that's it. Like, there are flashes of things. There's this kind of a flash of this, like, just surge. Like, a, literally, like, the definition of the word overwhelming. Like, more than I could contain, you know? And just being picked up and body slammed. And this is all such a blur, such a, like, almost like a dream that you had that, you know, you're trying to recollect or something. But, and I mean, in truth, I broke my scapula in the whole deal. And, you know, I mean, I, like, a 200-pound dude who pushes around a 700-pound motorcycle doesn't just tip backwards into the grass in his front yard and break his scapula, you know? So I'm pretty sure that, you know, what we think happened is that that line had, well, what we know happened is that a high voltage power distribution line, not a service line.
Service going to your house. Yeah,
service drops down to 220, I believe, right? The distribution, there's different ones, but this was a three phase, so there's a high voltage and two low voltage. The high voltage was carrying 7,876 volts electricity, and what we believe happened is a clip failed that fell in my front yard, not outside of my front yard, not in my backyard, you know, fell in my front yard on the backside of a bunch of boxwoods where you just couldn't, under an oak tree, like where you couldn't see shit anyway, you know?
Yeah.
And there's an automatic shutoff that happens when something like that fails, right? And then there's a kind of like a recharge switch in a substation, and the prevailing theory is that somebody thought that it was just a malfunction and hit that re-energize, I think is what it's called, at the same time that I was standing right there. And that that thing jumped like a hose when you just turn it on and it's just laying in the yard and you hit it with full pressure and it just leaps, you know? And it arced to the lighter that I was holding in my hand. And this is all, I'm just saying, this is my theory based on what I've learned through this process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're, it's all done. It's all over, you know, in regards to what and how and all that. But like, and it doesn't matter anyway, man. You know, yeah, this shit happened. It's done.
You got shocked by three phase.
Yeah. 7,876 volts, which is, I forget, and it's not equitable really, but it's, I think it's double the electric chair.
Oh, goddamn.
The difference is that it's really amperage that does the thing. So you're talking voltage divided by resistance equals amperage. So I've looked this up, and the amperage between, from like in one hand through a male adult body out the other hand, which is how this went, would be roughly like, I think like 11 or 12 amperes, which is like, I should, from what I've seen, I absolutely should have gone into cardiac, like there's no explanation for me not going into cardiac arrest.
Yeah. The fact that you're just still beating on
the fact that I'm alive is
very. And was it just going? Like, were you just stuck there? Like, how
I hate
long?
To say it like this, man, but like the way my wife describes it, which is just mortifying to me, is that I looked like a cartoon, you know, like when you see a cartoon character being electrocuted, you see like Bugs Bunny, you know,
you just see and electricity see, going through all of them.
Yeah. And I was just on fire, you know. Oh, I was wearing a fucking Hog Supply shirt that I still have to this day. Whoa. I told Cody Kevin about this too. Like I have this shirt, dude. It is fucking burned.
Has he seen it?
I posted a picture of it, and I think I sent it to him like a couple years ago. But I might frame it. I don't know, man. Wow. But
and then it just stopped?
Yeah, I think at some point, yeah, like the line was de-energized, and they were able to, you know, a neighbor. You know, there's just so many crazy things, man. Like, just maybe a week before this, my wife had sent me a link to some Amazon deal for fire blankets. And she said, hey, can you get a few of these for the house? And I was like, yeah, totally. And typically, I would have, like, put them in my cart and just, like, left them there until it was time to order some other shit, too, and I would have done it.
Or you'd have seen some other shit in your cart that you want to pull the trigger
on.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're not sure.
Totally. Like, yeah. So, like, but I just did it. I ordered them right then. I was like, this is, you know, the kind of thing that maybe this is saying something to me. So I did it. And I remember that. I remember, like, you know, I kind of like a firm believer in, like, paying attention to the crosses in the road, you know? So, so I bought the fire blankets, and that was one of the things that saved my life. Was her being able to? They arrived literally maybe 2 days before.
I mean, did it just blow your arm off?
No,
immediately.
No.
Or was it? It was still everything's
attached. No, my arms were there. Yeah,
it was all there.
Yeah. So, and the lighter was still in my left hand, and the line was attached to my left hand. You know, like I mean, dude, I know enough about electricity to know better than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have a fucking recording studio called Modern Electric Sound Recorders. It's all like transformer, vacuum tube, like, you know, 1950s, 60s, 70s. I fucking pay people a healthy rate to work on our amps and our console and all that because I don't want to fuck with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, my wife saved my life for sure. I remember coming to and being lying on the path, you know, that would have led me out to the street. And I remember next to it, I guess, and trying to pick myself up off the ground, like push myself up with my arms, and just like failing and like trying again. And my wife Monica and our neighbor, one of our neighbors coming over, going, no, hey, you know, don't move, don't try to, you know. Ambulance is on the way, and then I could hear the ambulance sirens.
How did they even notice that it was safe to even approach you?
They didn't, but there's just a few like crazy things. Like, we happen to have a wooden handled broom, you know? Like, you go to Home Depot these days, 90% of what you see is gonna be aluminum, plastic.
Yeah.
But we happen to have a wooden handled broom, which is what they use to like leverage this power line up off of me so that they could pull me out from underneath it.
Oh my God.
And the fact that...
And the neighbors showed up. I guess the neighbors outside going, why is the power out? And just happened to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, there's two neighbors. One neighbor was that, okay? The other neighbor, who is a really close friend of ours, he saw the same thing that Monica saw, which is presumably when I came into contact with the power line, or power line came into contact with me,
blowing through you.
They saw a light that lit up their entire house.
Oh my God.
Like lit the inside of their house.
You were the light.
I was the light. I was the ground, you know?
God.
I was completing the circuit. So yeah, you know, and then it was the EMTs, you know, telling me they're going to give me a bunch of fentanyl and to chill me out. And then it was, you know, I could remember the rattling of the gurney as they're loading me into the ambulance, and I can remember the lights inside the ambulance and hearing the sirens.
Were you calm at this point, like kind of like in shock, or were you?
I was like, I was
shocked. I just said that.
Like, I feel like it was more like I was like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like that, like when you've had the wind knocked out of you and you're just like, like, oh,
just like not and you quite can't able to do up. Everything.
You can't catch up with what's happening yet, you know? Mm-hmm. You're like, just like still just, I was dazed to say the least, know? And I remember the EMTs.
So for a while, by the time the emergency trucks come, you're still just like smoked.
Yeah, for sure.
Parts just catching up, probably.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, I have like bits of memories that still kind of come to mind, but it's just like, I just remember saying, I'm fucked up. Like, meaning I am physically fucked up. Like, you know, like, I knew at that moment, like, this was bad.
Oh, did the kids wake up? Did they come down? Did they have to?
Monica handed Lola to Jude, our boy, and Jude, and she told Jude to call 911, and he called 911, and she still called 911 also. And I think that Monica's mom woke up also, but I actually, some of that is a little foggy to me, but I know that she woke her up. I just don't know if when it was happening, if her mom and aunt were like
coming down.
Yeah. But, you know, and I basically woke up 2 weeks later at Parkland, you know, and Monica was right there, and she said, I remember coming to, and it was just because they, you know, they'd kept me in this medically induced coma because
pulled some drugs back at this point.
Yeah, exactly. They had to keep me intubated because there were so many surgeries that needed to happen, and they honestly didn't know if I was going to live, you know? So they kept me completely sedated, just literally in a medically induced coma until they could find a clearing for me to be able to catch up with myself enough to be able to withstand further procedures and for them to evaluate and see where things are at. So yeah, about 2 weeks
in. Yeah, they probably needed to get some feedback from you at this point.
Feedback, and my body had sustained so much trauma at that point that I think that my body just needed a moment before it could take more procedures even. Mm-hmm. So they did the necessary, like they didn't do anything about my scapula. Like, they're like, no, like we don't care about a broken bone right now, you know? So that's just, you know, was what it was.
Yeah.
It's fine. But like, it was just like, you know, full triage protocol, like life or limb.
Now they're working on the limbs, or they working on your heart?
Like I said, I did not go into cardiac arrest, and there's something crazy with that too. I was wearing this silver necklace that had these two little medals on it. One is a St. Michael's medal, and the other one was a just this, like, you know, ace of spades, you know, thing that I always wore.
Some rock and roll shit.
Yeah, exactly. And I was wearing that, and I, you know, the prevailing theory from many of the doctors, from myself, from other people, my wife, you know, a lot of people, are that necklace might have saved my life, man, because silver is such a conductor, you know, that we think that as that electricity crossed me, we know that the silver melted to the back of my neck. And the melting point of silver, I want to say, is 700 degrees. So the silver melted to the back of my neck. You can see it, like...
Yeah, right in that tattoo, huh?
Yep. And they're like, yeah, there's like a couple lumps where it like really melted and it burned straight across that tattoo.
So like it went that direction instead of going through your heart or maybe, right through your chest?
Yeah, and then maybe kept that from going up into my face and my brain and really, really going out that fucking way. Me up. Yeah.
Whoa.
Because your extremities are the exits. You know, mm-hmm. For a lot of people, it's the feet. I had some exit wounds on my feet. They weren't as severe as obviously as my right arm was the exit wound, you know, which is more severe than the entrance, which is my left arm. Still have my elbow and my forearm on my left arm. Don't have my elbow or anything below it on my right arm, you know.
Now, was this when you come to, is she just like, how do I tell him? Is she there?
She's like, just like... I mean, dude, like, you know, I can't imagine it being somebody else. Like, the way that she told me, I think, saved me from myself from a lot of things, but like it had to be her. Like she's the one. Like when I came to, she was just there, and she said, just her demeanor, anyone that knows Monica, she's just the sweetest, calmest, you know, loving person. And you know, we have our shit, but damn, dude, like I can't imagine it being anyone but her. But she just said, hey baby, you know, you're in Parkland Hospital, you've been in an accident, you came into contact with an electrical line in our front yard, they had to amputate your left hand. And that's the best I can recall of what she told me. But just her being the one to tell me, and the way that she told me, and just her voice.
Comforting,
her,
like, hey, you may not have that, but you're here now. Like, you just
but
woke
I'm
up,
here.
We're alive.
You're here. Our fucking kids are at home.
Yeah.
We have a home to go home to.
Yeah.
You're being cared for. Like, you're going to be okay, you know? Like, you're here, you know? And I just remember thinking, in that, like, second, it was just like, dude, just a fork in the road. Instant fork in the road.
One of those decisions.
Yeah, and it was like, nobody's going to blame me if I'm pissed off. And I'm going to be pissed off, I'm sure. Nobody's going to blame me if I'm sad. I'm going to be sad, I'm sure. But nobody's going to blame me if I'm all these things all the time to the most extreme. They're going to expect it, and they're going to understand. Mm-hmm. But why... why do I, like, I don't have to do that, like, you know.
You had this, you were that, I mean, that's pretty far along.
I mean, dude, I was
point, right
doped
out of
my mind, but it was instant. It was literally in that moment, I had a choice. And it was, what do you want to be, and who do you want to be it for? And it's like, we had a fucking year and a half year old daughter, you know, a 12 year old boy, and a life that we were building together, and just so much, dude, you know? And it's just like no tough guy shit, but like, no, fuck no, man. Like, this isn't it.
Yeah.
This doesn't get me.
Yeah, this ain't it.
Like, fuck that, no way. So, you know, it was like, okay, well, then it's fight, you know? And then it was just like, fight. Hardcore, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, do everything that I know that I've got to do with the doctors, ask lots of questions, learn everything I can. I was teaching nurses how to unclog the Lopez valve on my fucking feeding tube. You know, like they didn't even know what a Lopez valve was. You know, I designed my own system for wound care because I couldn't stand like the literal physical pain of them putting me on, moving me onto a gurney and taking me to this room called the tank to spray me with these hoses that hang from the ceiling.
God.
In this tile room with drains in the floor, you know?
Like a meat blocker.
I mean, I was like, I don't want to do that, you know? So we're going to figure this out. And they probably hated me half the time, but they all love me too, you know? Like, anyway, yeah, dude, you know, I had a choice in that moment, and it was just clear to me, like, that I had to make that choice for me just as much as I did for them. And it's literally the pivotal moment in my life, period. Aside from delivering my daughter into this world with the two hands that I lost in that accident, aside from that, that was the most, and maybe more so because I get to be here for her the way that she needs me. That was probably the most pivotal thing that I could have ever possibly done, is just choose in that moment. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like, not to sound, I know there, like, you know, lots of chopper dudes out there and all that, not to sound like cliche, but it was like real FTW, man. Like, big time. Like, no. Like, this is not how I go. Like,
yeah.
Fuck that. So,
how long were you in the hospital?
10 weeks.
Oh yeah, you smoked them. You got it out of there.
Yeah. Dude,
like,
they
I'm getting out of this.
They let me out so prematurely, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It seems like it.
I think about it now. I'm like, I thought I was so ready. I was like, oh man, fuck this. Yeah. I'm good to go.
Yeah, we're good.
Dude, they let me out. I was hooked
on. That's some
on,
man shit right there. I don't need y'all. Yeah,
I was hooked on dope, and they sent me home with a prescription for Tylenol 3.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I was kicking dope the first 2 weeks I was out of the hospital.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, I was kicking oxy, fentanyl, Dilaudid, fucking all of it, man.
Oh, my God.
I was on that shit nonstop, like, oxy every 4 hours, Dilaudid twice a day.
I remember I was rolling mine out of Parkland to the street to smoke cigarettes, and I could see the bums looking at me in my bag.
They're like, ooh.
I'm like, this is probably not the best place to be smoking cigarettes with my fucking pain meds.
Fucking morphine, yeah. And it's like, I didn't even realize it at that point, but yeah.
And they, 10 weeks. They were like, okay, yeah, tough guy.
Well, and they like guy. They just clipped me from it, I think, just midnight the night before. And that was it. And I had so much probably just residual in my system just for that little bit, because it was literally around the clock for 10 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, straight in the drip.
So, like, I just, you know, thought that I was cool when I got home. And then all of a sudden I started having to kick dope. And
my puking and shit.
I still had an IV in my jugular. Like... Yeah, dude.
I guess you're not getting it in your forearms, are
you? No, fuck no. Yeah. I had one in my groin for a good time in there. That was real awesome. Whoa. But not trying to like bum anyone out or freak anyone out with any of this, but yeah, it was, you know, there's some shit. But, dude, the doctors at Parkland, the nurses at Parkland, incredible, dude. Incredible.
And that's a legendary burn unit, right?
It is. I mean, it's the method adopted worldwide as the method for treating severe burns, is the Parkland method, is what it's called. Yeah. My neighbors in there, like I was in, you know, whatever room I was in, 603 or whatever, you know, room 602 was a dude from, I want to say, Arizona, and room 604 was a dude from Colorado. Wow. You know, it's like, well, think about that for a second. That means that there's not, they were care flighted there, or they were transferred there, because there's not a better burn unit in
between here and there.
Think about that. Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona. Like,
This is a burn unit, but you've got an electric unit. So that's like, and I guess most people who have burns, they've also got other injuries as well. So that's like...
Yeah. Electrocution's a little different because it burns you from the inside out.
Yeah.
So, like, cooks you, you know?
I guess you still want the best burn unit to take care of.
Oh, dude,
burns.
Yeah. And, I mean, I was fried. Like, I have a... I'm really lucky. Like, you know, I...
Now, did you get, like, all your cognitive brain function back? Do they have to do any work there? Did it take time? Or you just... Once you got off the dope, you're here and you were...
I was there when I was in the hospital, you know? I was doped out, but like, shit, they had me on ketamine for probably 8 of those 10 weeks until I told them I couldn't do it anymore.
Whoa.
Maybe 6, I don't know, like, a lot of it. And I was like...
That stuff works good.
It does, and I gotta say, like, I'm like very thankful for it, and I can thank it, I think, to a great extent for me being able to navigate that weird turf, that new reality, you know? Because it's a dissociative, you know? Like, it... But at a point, I was questioning, like, what was real,
And oh, hell yeah.
I was like, I think that that's one of those things, like,
everybody's dosage is real different, too.
Yeah.
And they can easily, like, I've talked, oh, hell, I was there one time when my buddy, I took him in, he broke some legs, and they gave him too much, and he fucking lost his shit.
Yeah.
And, like, it was worse. You know,
No, it can be scary, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
My brother-in-law showed up the other day.
Yeah.
He lives in Key West. Well, he's got prescription for it, you know? And I'm like, I see this. He's got medicine in the fridge. And I'm like, fucking ketamine?
It's like ketamine therapy, right?
I literally just pull it out and eat it immediately. My wife's like, what the fuck did you... He's just like, gets a smile on his face.
How did it feel?
And I'm like, you know, it's got to be watered down if you're taking it 3 times a day,
was
dude.
Was it?
30 seconds later, I'm high as fuck.
Whoa!
Dude. I was just like... But it was like a, you know, it's that place... You go, it was very similar to like the perfect high on weed, where I just like everything was really, I was looking at everything differently. I didn't realize it at first, but like changed my perspective on everything that was happening.
Yeah.
You know, I like any little anxiety or not, maybe not anxiety, but you know, like everything that was kind of sitting on me at that moment was gone.
Yeah.
You know, like there was no kind of pressure. Not that there was any pressure in that moment. So that's, but I could tell that was the feel, like that's what it did to me. Like it literally was just like gave me new space where I was sitting and just like. But I was high as fuck. I'm like, dude, what did you tell the doctor for them to give you this?
How long did it last?
15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was like a dissolvable.
Yeah.
Dissolvable gummy.
Yeah. Wild.
Three times a day. I'm like, what did you tell them for them to be like, you need ketamine daily.
Three times. Like, I couldn't take it at a point. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, so that they were using that for the pain?
For the pain, and I think that it also, there's a side of ketamine with it being a dissociative, with something so life-altering, like what I went through, that it helps you kind of, like, cross that bridge, I guess. I don't know how to put it, but I mean, just like there's
that,
a...
Was that their reasoning behind it? Because
I think that that's part of it, yeah.
Did you, because that seems but like they use you would it as get that benefit.
For sure, yeah. They use it as a painkiller.
Yeah.
And that might be like the core, like, note on the prescription side of it, you know?
But they know that it has.
But they know.
They know that it works.
So, like, for instance, for
wounds. I could see it being good for you to, like, have that to, like, reintroduce yourself to, like.
Exactly.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
You can breathe around that for a minute under that those that drug, you know?
Yeah. And it was wild. I remember like I don't know. I have all these wild stories about ketamine. That's a whole different thing.
Dude, my buddy, he only did it once. He had a crazy fucking story. Yeah. I was like, do not give him that shit again, dude.
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty fucking funny, man. But yeah.
Party drug, huh?
Yeah, totally.
Party drug.
Totally. But yeah, but to answer your question from earlier, like, I was cognitively there, like, off the bat, pretty much. From what, I didn't have to learn how to talk again. I didn't have to, like, you know, remember who people were. There was nothing like that. I was really, really there as far as I can remember. Uh-huh. No, I was super doped out. So, like, I might have sounded and looked a whole other way to someone else that was visiting me,
yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think that was the first thing too, that a lot of people who in the early days of me kind of being there and I get bored and I'd call people.
Yeah.
I'd like my computer sitting there and I'd be able to like FaceTime people from my computer or like my laptop, you know, or like just call them or whatever.
I was so stoked when I saw you because, you know, I felt bad that I didn't come over do anything. Like,
did I call you from the hospital? Happening.
No.
Oh. I wouldn't have been surprised if I did.
I mean, if you did, I missed it, you know, but, which is, that's possible, you know. But I don't think so. I think I would have remembered that. But I seen you out in public and you were just smiling, you
dude,
know.
I'm stoked to be here, man.
And it was just like, oh my gosh. It just made me feel so good. Like, it was so good.
You know what, man? Like, if there's anything that's made me realize, it's just that, like, I mean, dude, it's so dumb. Like, we all know it, but, like, life is fucking too short, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to, like, I don't have time to waste not enjoying this shit.
Yeah.
This is an anomaly, dude. Mm-hmm. Look around. Like,
it is.
Two
it
dudes.
Really is. Yeah.
Like talking about this shit,
yeah.
Like in a sitting on a fucking leopard couch in a room with lights, with electricity, with fucking recording equipment,
AC
that won't turn off. You know, for a podcast,
yeah,
that's going to be heard by
around
people,
the world,
and
dude.
That's going to be digested to some extent, and maybe it hits them, maybe it doesn't. But like, think about that, like. That right there, this podcast, what we're doing right now is more anomalous than anything that can ever be explained by science. Mm-hmm. Like intelligent life, like this
that
world,
we've come to this point.
Like the trees outside that window.
Did you do ketamine before you came in here?
I'm on it right now, man.
No, but you're right. It is crazy. It is so fucking crazy. And I've been hearing Rogan talk more and more about the simulation. Like it's more likely that this is a fucking simulation.
It could be. I don't know.
You know, like, fuck.
I'm just like,
it is that crazy that this is where we're at and this is what we're doing.
But at the same time, I just don't even care. I'm just stoked to be here.
And that's what it gets down to.
Like, you know what I mean? Really, like, matter. I don't need to think about that. I don't need to think about, you know, I just want to be cool to people. I hope that people are cool to me, you know, cool to the people I love. I want to do fun shit. I want to help people. I want to create incredible art. I want to have fun, and I want to do the things that I've always done and always wanted to do, you know, literally, like, play guitar, ride choppers.
You did because they were challenging. Now they're just even more challenging.
Yeah, but I think I've got it dialed. Not dialed, but I've got it figured out. I do. I have the mechanics of pedal steel guitar, which has always been one of my favorite instruments.
Okay.
I have the mechanics of that, and I have the mechanics of at least a trike, like, figured out. Mm-hmm. I can do. I know that I will do those two things.
That's sick.
It's just a matter of, you know, a matter of enlisting the right people to help bring those things to fruition. And I have those people. Like, I've got it. I've got, like, the shit lined up. I just got to make it happen. Maybe part of me is a little scared that it won't work, and so I, like, drag my feet on it, you know? Yeah. But I've met some people recently at a pedal steel guitar company here in Dallas that I kind of had a whole theory about how I could make that work, and I won't bore anyone with, like, the technical music theory aspects of it, but it makes it doable for me, you know? And my prosthetist and I have already made a totally analog right arm for me that can help me strum the strings, and I can hold the slide bar with my left, with my hook, you know, and the rest is my feet, which are fine, and my knees doing the knee levers, which are fine.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I've, so, like, that would be picking with your right, yeah, sliding with your left. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I'd just be strumming. It's an open tuning where I'm able to change from major to minor, whatever, with my feet, and then do the Nashville kind of stuff with my knees. Uh-huh. Like I said, I'm leaving out all of, like, the nerd shit. But I literally think that I got it worked out. Yeah. And, like, I've now got this amazing dude that is going to, named Mitchell from MSA Steel Guitars, that's going to help me do this. That's, you know, I'm pretty sure his name is.
So how long did the prosthetics, was it right out of the gate?
It was pretty quick. Like, I gotta say, I did it quicker than most people. I started the conversation with Rob from Arm Dynamics, who's just, like, been, like, a hero, man. But I started the conversation with him, like, while I was still in the ICU.
Then do they come around like ambulance chasers? Like, oh, this guy's gonna need this, drop a cart off, or you gotta go?
It just, he was the name that kept coming up with the people that knew, you know, and from as far as Kentucky to Southern California, you know, like, these from multiple spots, like, this is the guy you need to talk to.
Okay.
And he just happens to be here, and, you know, he's in Irving.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, the dude in Kentucky, Jason, he's, you know, bilateral amputee like me, and he flies from Kentucky to Dallas to see Rob, you know? And, like, that says something, you know? There's a lot of this, and I have him right here. I can be up there in 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah, how does that conversation go? Like, I guess he wants to know what you did before.
Yeah.
What you want to do in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they you know, they don't have, like, a one size fits all on these things.
No. Nope.
They, each one of them, they got to custom make, right?
And, dude, these are not people that are, you know, amputees wearing prosthetics working there. So they rely heavily on us to provide them with insight as to, and with creative thought and a certain amount of ingenuity to, like, figure out how they can, like, further the, like, move the fucking,
help the next person.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, so they're open to any ideas you have is to make
I hope that I've been useful in that conversation, but I think I have, you know, like, the pedal steel guitar, like I was just talking about, man, like, that might just, like, my dumb ass, like, when I was figuring this out, the final stretch of it, I had to, in order to figure out how to do the tuning, I caved in and I used AI. And I'd never
I love the way you said that.
I know, dude.
I caved in And ask ChatGPT.
I did.
Did you use the chat? I did. Or did you use
Croc? I used ChatGPT.
Okay.
And I feel like a sellout for doing that, but at the same time, I've been trying to get to the bottom of this, and I have a lot of really smart people who are like,
you know, it's like a good version of Google.
A lot of people are like, you know what, let me think about that, and I'll get back to you. And I'm like, that's incredible, but like, I really want to do this now. And so finally, I just said, fuck it, and I'm going to put in everything that I think into ChatGPT, which I'm very proud to have come up with this far of a thought on it, you know, with this tuning that I thought would work, which is E sus, if anyone cares.
Okay.
And there's three pedals, and pedal one being that'll, if I can, if this will bend the strings the right way, pedal one will make it a major chord. A sus chord is not major, it's not minor.
Okay.
It's suspended. Pedal one will make it major. Pedal two will make a seven chord, is what it's called,
okay.
A dominant seven.
Yeah.
Pedal three will make it a minor chord. Now, in pedal steel, people will like just kind of mash down on two pedals at one time too.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be pedals one and two would make a major seven.
Yeah,
pedals two and three will make a minor seven.
Yeah.
So now you've got all of your major chords, all of your minor chords, all of your major sevens, and all of your minor sevens.
So you were asking ChatGPT if the physics or the mechanics of the pulley system
of a pedal steel guitar,
could it,
if there was a tuning that I could accomplish that in the tuning that I wanted to use, which is E sus, so that when I strum straight across those strings, because I just have a pick, I can't
use the claw
like a pedal steel player does.
Mm-hmm.
So when I strum across the strings, I just need to make a major chord, you know, and then I'm at the third fret and that's a G, and then the fifth fret, I'm in an A, you know? So I asked ChatGPT like what the tuning would be for that. Mm-hmm. And then that just led to me asking it more questions.
Oh, yeah.
How do I incorporate the knee levers to make a more like traditional Nashville pedal steel, you know, tones? Like, it's like an E9 tuning is what that's called. But like, how do I do that? And it like helped me figure all these things out. And dude, I've shown this to the people who know, and they're just like blown away. They're like, yeah, that all tracks, man.
Wow.
And
that's fucking cool.
And I talked to a homeboy at MSA Pedal Steel Guitars, and yeah, he's like, he asked me one question. He's like, which two E strings do you want to be unison? And I was like, let me get back to you. Let me think about that. But basically, the whole thing is that, you know, that all sounds probably boring and or impressive depending on who's listening. But like, dude, that might fucking let some other dude out there play music again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like somebody who like
just changed thought their approach that it was, on anything too.
Yes, it might make them think like, well, shit,
if I got one of my arms, I need to quit.
You know, like something, I don't know what, but it maybe it moves the needle with someone, you know. So
have you been asking it other questions since then?
Not really.
Is that just like the gateway? That wasn't the gateway drug?
I've asked it questions, but nothing like that.
Nothing that's getting
No.
Yeah.
But it helped me like draft a manual to give to communicate
with the guy.
Somebody that's competent in setting this thing up for me. You know? It's like, you are going to make this lever do this and this lever do that, and then this will do that. And so pretty
that's
wild.
Wicked. That's wicked.
And it's specific to like the steel that I own, which is, you know, this 70s showbed professional.
So he's going to modify yours?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But it'll work, like, without fabricating parts and drilling crazy shit. Yeah.
No. Oh, I just assumed this was going to take a lot of fabricating.
No. Like, this is just going to work. Standard
pulley systems.
Yeah.
It's just a tuning process.
10 strings, and it's just a matter of getting the right pairs of strings moving in the right way with the right pedal or knee lever.
Wow.
Bending the pitch up or down, you know?
And nobody else was able to really... I guess they probably could have figured it out if they'd like...
Well, the coolest thing about the ChatGPT thing is, you know, you're talking about, like, an aggregate of information of the entire internet.
Yeah.
You know? Oh. Pretty much. I think. It's from what I understand of it, right?
Yeah.
And I asked it at the end of this conversation I had, I said, has this tuning, has this style ever been done before? And it said, searching you know, searching the web, whatever. And then it said, I could not find anything on any of on any music forums, pedestal guitar forums, websites, documentation, books, blah, 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 blah. So it asked me if I wanted to, they call it, I think it's called a copedant or copendant, is what like a tuning and a style of a setup of a pedal steel is.
Okay.
They said, would you like, you know, would you like me to name this the Jeff Sines copedant? And I was like, nah, name it the Baby Snakes copedant. Just because I'm an idiot.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I was blown away. I was like, holy shit, did I just fucking like, do something that could like really help a lot of people be able to play music that don't have fucking hands? It's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, how many?
We'll see. Yeah, I haven't done it yet, you know?
I mean, I can't imagine a ton of music. Like, playing music isn't something where you're going to lose a lot of limbs, right? You know?
No,
like,
dude.
Playing sports.
I mean, shit, Rick Allen from, I think his name's Rick Allen, but Rick Allen from Def Leppard's like been the talk of the town for decades because he lost one arm. Holy shit. Dude, let me tell you what I would do if I still had a fucking hand.
Oh my God.
Like, not talking shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it's not easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy, like.
Those X-heads would have gone right back into that container, dude.
Come on.
In the right order.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they would. Bing, 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 bing.
Dude, after we hung out last week and you were talking about the chips and salsa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of chips and salsa and guacamole.
Yes, dude.
And you're just talking about, you know, I'd never thought about how, you know, I think of a prosthetic, like it's got a function and it does the function, you know? But to, like, be able to control the amount of pressure that is a very crucial thing because everything you touch needs a different amount of pressure.
Yeah.
And I take that for granted when I grab something that, you know, this can, like I could, if I grabbed it like I was picking up a 20-pound weight, I would crush it, right?
Yeah.
And I just never had thought about that. So I've been thinking about you ever since. Every time I grab a chip or something kind of fragile that I grab all the time, I take for granted.
Yeah.
That I already.
Hands are incredible, dude. Like, they really are. Like, it's, it's the chips and salsa thing has been like my.
Your nemesis?
No, it's just like, I love it. I do it all the time. Like,
okay.
But like, yeah, like.
It's a good practice.
It is, for sure. Totally.
There's like a good reward system involved there. I mean, you get
You get the chip and the salsa or the guac,
it's
you know?
So good.
The guac's trickier because it's heavier. So, like, you have that little bit of drag that can just snap a chip off.
I mean, it's tough for people with all 10 digits, okay?
This,
you know, the hook, I see chips in guacamole and everybody's got their fingers, okay?
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
You still see that.
The hook, this has, it's called an ETD, but electronic terminal device, but. Or electric terminal device, but it's 25 pounds of pressure.
25 pounds.
So I got a daughter, man, you know? Like, she wants to pass me, like, some little hairbrush for her Barbie or something.
You know what I mean? Snap that shit.
Yeah, and I've pinched her on accident, you know? Like, I mean, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, it sucks. Like,
learning that.
Oh my God.
So, the conversation with the guy, does he say you need a hook? You're like, no, I don't want a hook. I want something else. He's like,
actually,
no, for what you need to do, this is what you need.
I was told that this is what would be most useful for me. Okay. But I was presented other options, and there was one that was like this bionic looking hand. And I don't want to like name bash, so I won't name the company or anything like that. But
like with the fingers and everything.
Yeah, it looks really cool, man. Like very Iron Man, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But it's just useless for somebody. In any ad that you'll ever see for something like that, you know, like...
They're not showing the function.
There's a girl that people send me all the time, and she's a total babe. And you know, man, I'm not undercutting her efforts to show people what they're capable of and all that. But she has a hand.
Yeah,
and her other side has a prosthetic below the elbow, which is much more desirable than above the elbow, mm-hmm. you know. And she uses like a, you know, bionic hand is what we'll call it. But you know, so she can hold a carrot with that and cut it with the other hand, mm-hmm. right? With her real hand, she can, you know, hold her cup of coffee while she pours the creamer in with her real hand, whatever, you know? But it's like, for somebody who's bilateral, meaning both sides, it's just not useful.
Yeah.
Not unless you're like proficient with...
Did you go straight to this, or did you try other things
out? That's my point, is I went straight to this bionic hand.
Oh, you tried the bionic
hand. I did. And the upside of it was that it maybe gave me a little like confidence, because it's really badass looking. Like, it's cool as fuck. The coolest thing that it can do is you can program gestures, they call it, you know? So if you need it to be able to hold something a specific way, you can actually move each with the app. You can move each finger into that position and program that to where, you know, and save it. And you can, I think you can save up to like
instead
five,
of having to move each finger.
Yeah. Well, you can't move individual digits. It's just, you have to hit a button to change the grip pattern. And then you open it or close it, same way that I'm doing this, but it'll do that grasp pattern, you know? So the coolest thing that I was able to do with it is I programmed it in a certain way to where I'd tell people, be like, oh man, fuck, can you hit that button right there? And it's on like the top of the hand. So it's like the hand's kind of facing them, and they'd hit the button and it would just like flip the bird.
Course.
And that was literally the coolest thing you could do.
Oh,
that was it. This thing, this hook, it, you know, compared to that, it looks like shit, but it's just so much more useful.
Yeah.
So much more useful. So.
I mean, it's a learning curve, you know? I mean, you want the bionic thing.
Yeah.
And, so and how it works. So you've got like, you've got buttons in there?
There's two sets of electrodes. There's a set of electrodes on top of my forearm. Mm-hmm. That it, like, I'm, for the, you know, people who can't see this, I've got, it's like a carbon fiber frame that, like, I basically slip into. You know, I've got about, I would say about 70% of my forearm still.
Okay.
You know? And I slide into that, and it is custom molded for my arm, lined with, like, this, like, silicone rubber kind of stuff, and corresponding to, like, the high firing centers of these two muscles, you have a set of electrodes on the top of my forearm corresponding to one muscle, and then on the bottom side of my forearm you have another set of electrodes. And what's happening is when they did the amputation, they did a procedure called TMR, which is targeted muscle reinnervation. They take the nerves that went to my hand, which are still there, and I can still feel my hands 24 hours a day, just all the time.
Still now?
Yeah, right now. All the time. I feel them all the time. And it's kind of comforting. I've always liked that I can, you know. But the way that they did, they took those nerves that connect to my hand and they reconnected them to muscles in my forearm. This is how I understand it, to the best of my knowledge. But so when I open my hand, like, I'm not like telling it to open the hook. I'm like just opening my invisible hand and it opens the hook. When I close...
So did they do that in correspondence with the company that makes this ahead of time? Are they in cahoots, or this is like a standard practice?
This should be a standard practice, and I think that it depends on the severity of the injury and all that. In my case, it was possible on my left side. On my right side, it wasn't.
Yeah. So
now, they could go back in now and do something like that, but it's like another fucking surgery, and I've had 13 surgeries so far, and I'm just like tapped, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even wear anything on my right side currently.
Yeah.
But on my left side, the muscles were well enough. My right side, a lot of the arm that you see is composed of skin grafts, and the muscles that are behind them are actually my latissimus dorsi, my lat for my back. That they swung up into my armpit and my bicep area. So it's like less intuitive, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But my left side, I mean, pretty all right, you know?
That's one thing I was thinking about asking. It was like, because I hear people talk about like being able to feel their fingers when they're gone. You know, you still have that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when I shattered my leg, I would... I did a bunch of nerve damage down here, and you know, I would get poked with the blade of grass in my ankle, and it felt like a razor blade was cutting my toe.
Yeah,
you know,
it's totally.
Like, everything was just kind of like.
It's wild. Like, yes, I have a lot of shit like that.
Is there imaginary pain? Like, if you think your hand's getting hit by something, do you feel that, or?
No, it's not like that, but there is, and it's chilled out a lot, but there's, you know, phantom limb pain is a real thing, and that would feel, it's gotten better, but I still have it from time to time, and it, when I have it, it feels like I'm getting my hand slammed in a car door on repeat. Like,
oh, God damn.
I'll just be standing here, you know, sitting here talking to you, and then it's just like, I'll just go, you'll hear me go, you know, you'll just hear me say, or like, you know, it's a little thing, but it's just like, whack, whack, whack,
oh
whack.
Oh my gosh. And you don't know what triggers it or anything?
Whack. You know, it's just random, and like, and then it stops. And then you're like, is it done? You know?
Oh my gosh.
But what are you going to do? Like,
make a fun noise.
You know, fuck, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it sounds like from the get-go, you're like, okay, we're just working through this, right? We're just figuring it out.
Yeah.
Getting the prosthetic. I mean, immediately you're like, all right, so
I was
we're going to have to change the motorcycle a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's... Oh, yeah. And, dude, I was almost done with this beautiful bike, like, fucking so close, man. Like, ready to, like, send it off to paint,
oh,
you know?
And in like, your shop?
It's actually at Jason Ferris's up in Kansas.
Okay.
Jason
it was then too, right?
It was, because he did some frame work for me.
Nice.
So he had the frame up there, and then we like took it a little further, and he was like, well, you know, like let me make the seat pan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so he made a crazy killer seat pan, and he, you know, the sissy bar, and it just, we ended up going further with it, you know? But wow. I had all the pieces, and I guess that I'd taken it to him also because I had to make one of his front ends for me, like one of his narrowed, long springers. And I'd like picked it up from him while I dropped that frame off and taken it back to Fort Worth to get it chromed and got it chromed and took it back up there. And just making these trips out to Kansas just fucking fun anyway, you know?
Yeah.
I love Jason, dude.
That's
like,
awesome.
Love Jason. His whole
you family. Go to that fucking chrome shop right there by Harper's place?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Perfect.
Yeah. And
where's he at in Kansas?
He's in oh my God, why can't I remember the name of it? I always
Lawrence.
No, he's not in Lawrence. He's just like right over the Oklahoma border, but real small. I think it's about maybe 30 minutes south of Wichita.
Okay. Small town.
Yeah.
Sick.
I can't remember the name of it right now. Anyway, so that bike, that's at his shop still right now. And that's a 48 panhead with a, you know, 52 wishbone that he did a little work on to make the math probably still not right, but like cool,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And fucking badass front end and all that. And dude, him and I, like, I was in the hospital. I mean, like, we started getting on, like, ideas.
What's the next move? Yeah.
Yeah. And like he's been huge in helping like me like figure out so much of this stuff. There's a few people that have been like real key, you know. One of my best friends, Jormovic, he's like a real like Triumph desert dude.
Sick.
Like vintage Triumphs. Not just Triumphs, but like love some Triumphs. But he's racing out there and building these, like, I mean, to me, they're just like the desert equivalent of a badass old school dirty ass crusty chopper, you know?
Yeah, no, those desert sleds are sick.
I just met with a guy fucking bad to the bone
in Pennsylvania, Joe Zito.
Oh yeah.
And he was fucking ripping on this fucking
dude. Jorma has one that was actually put in dice, like him and his wife Tammy, they both ride and they're real serious about it, and you know, they did a story on him and his wife, and the bike that he put in there is named Baby Snakes.
Really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
So like a little tribute, which, you know, made me blush for sure. But like he's the one that told me about the Recluse clutch.
Oh yeah.
And that was a huge
motivator
like, oh wait, okay.
Yeah, those kind of, those have been around for a while, but they've been heavily adopted in the last 5 years.
Like, yeah, and like, I don't know.
People use them on all sorts of shit.
Yeah, and I think that like they've been used in other aspects, but not a lot of people, obviously, for obvious reasons, have thought about using them on old, you know, big twin four speeds.
Well, dude, the first time I saw it, it wasn't a Recluse, but it was at Love Thy Chopper.
Uh-huh.
Fucking probably 8, 9 years ago. The last one they did.
Yeah.
And there was a guy there with a bitchin' shovel head, and he had a centrifugal clutch.
Yeah, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. RPMs drop, clutch plates engage.
Yeah, he did it all. He made it all custom himself.
Yep. That's fucking gnarly.
That's crazy.
So yeah, so you send him, you know, we
he had both his arms and legs.
We have an American Prime that we're gonna just basically send to them, and they're gonna
set it up.
Yeah, and they'll set it up and they'll send it back, and we pop it in, you know, or Jason does or whoever, but like, he has that 48. That's two wheels. You know, it's like a 19-inch WM3 and like a 21 WM0 and like cool-ass fucking, you know, cool-ass bars and all this shit. But it's like, so I don't know. We'll see, dude.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse. But we've figured out a lot of things with that. Like, you know, like, I'm just moving it over to disc brakes. Like, that's just happening. So I've already bought, like, for that bike, he's got all the stuff that I've bought for this. But I've, you know, I've got some PMs and all that sitting over there.
You seen that throwback one with, like, it looks like the cast?
No, but I need to now.
Oh, it's sick.
I need to see it now.
Yeah, it's a brand new PM.
Brand new. Oh, well, I got this a couple years ago.
But it looks cast.
Okay,
well, no, that's, they've made it for a couple years. But it just looks like the old one.
I don't know if I have that one.
It's cool.
Anyway, yeah. I gotta look at it. Fuck. Anyway, but you know, so front and rear brakes, right?
Yeah.
And you know, using a portioning valve, like Wildwood makes portioning valves, and some other companies.
Oh, to just use one pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can decide the distribution. You know, 60 up front, 40 in the rear, 70 up front, 30 in the rear, whatever you want. And you know, I had the idea, and we haven't figured this out, but it, in theory, it makes sense, but like. Man, a, you know, a throttle, you're just pulling a fucking cable, and that cable's just letting gas flow through the fucking carb into the cylinders and make fire and blow shit up and, you know, putt-putt. So I was like, well, shit, why can't I just put that on my foot, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the idea of maybe using kind of maybe a little bit more overbuilt version of like a thumb throttle. From like a Wave Runner or ATV or something like that.
Well, they've definitely done foot throttles before.
Yeah, I've heard people, you know, have done it. So, I mean, I want to try to kind of either side-by-side them on my right foot.
So you would do right, have gas and brake on the right side.
Yeah, and then clutch, or sorry, and then a shift on the left.
Yeah.
And I've thought about either doing like, I was joking around, toe for go, heel for squeal. But like, either that or kind of side-by-side. I have all these like cool like Lee... you know, just Lee pedals and shit that I was building this whole thing out, you know? And,
I mean,
we'll
if it's all on the, all on your feet, I mean, you don't need, like, you don't need a lot to just balance those bars. As long as the connection's good from your shoulders
at that point,
to the handlebars.
At
right?
that point, I'm just, I'm, you know, when I drive a car, I have a, on the wheel, I've got like a trucker spinner that has like a ring instead of like the eight ball or whatever the fuck it would have. And I just like hook through and clamp down on that, you know? And I would probably do that on the left side of, we'll see, but maybe do something like that on the left side of the bars.
Yeah.
And on the right side, Mert Lawwell developed this. We were talking about this last week. Mert Lawwell developed this thing where it's, you know, it's called Mert's Hands. And it's, you know, in place of a prosthetic, it is a prosthetic, I guess, but it's like a ball at the end. And what that pops down into like a receiving cup that's mounted to the bars.
Yeah.
And that receiving cup has like, I want to say, 6 spring-loaded ball bearings that are tension adjustable via like a set screw on the back. And they've got kind of a, there's kind of a beveled lip so that when you're down in it, like if you just pop it at a certain angle, you'll pop out
of it. It can still come out.
So you're not like fucking just stuck to this thing.
You
know what I mean?
Don't want that.
No. So, you know, the idea is kind of maybe do something where I can like clamp on the bars with a hook so that if I got to stop for gas, I fucking have a hook. I don't have a ball on each hand.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that and then a ball on the right side, something like that. That's the idea for the bars. Mm-hmm. So you've got throttle on your toe.
Yeah.
You've got brake on that same toe on a pedal next to it or on your heel. Mm-hmm. You've got your clutch, or not, your clutch is built. It's centrifugal.
You don't need it.
And you've got your shifter, you know, right where it was. And then Cannonball makes an electric start for, you know, old 4-speed big twins that is like actually pretty cool looking, pretty mm-hmm. small.
Fits
and,
right in there.
Yeah, it just like sits below the oil bag behind the transmission, kind of just, mm-hmm. you know.
Right behind the transmission, just tucked right in there. Instead of being in between the transmission and the oil bag, it's...
It just like sets that rod out by like, I think like an extra like 9 millimeters or something like
That's
that.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to see this.
Yeah, I mean...
I want to see you in the wind.
Well, I think I probably just made a big noise there. But I just went like that with my. Anyway, I ended up picking up a trike roller from a dude here in town. Brooks, is that his name?
Which looks sick. Yeah, Brooke Bland.
Brooke Bland. Yep.
Yeah.
Who was here at the studio? I think yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
I didn't even see him. I wasn't here, but
he just dropped by because he was in town.
He was friends with the dude that was recording, and I totally missed him. So,
oh,
Brooke, it's
here. What's his name? Troy, or what's that kid's
name? No, it's Travis.
Travis Bolt.
Yep, Travis Bolt.
Damn, Travis was over here recording, huh?
Does Travis ride choppers?
I've never seen him on a chopper.
No.
I think he might ride, though. He played a handful of the motorcycle shows around Texas a couple years ago.
Well, you know? That's the record that's being worked on downstairs right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's the record that Jason's been doing when we've been over here.
That's awesome.
Anyway, he sold me a trike roller, and that's going out to like my like super close buddy Chase Stopnick out in California. And Chase is gonna fucking, him and I have been dreaming about doing something forever, so at least I've been dreaming about it. I don't know how much he's been dreaming about it. Let's be honest.
Oh, it's gonna have a fucking surf rack on the back if
he builds it,
right?
I'm fucking into it, man. I don't care. That's cool.
Yeah,
I'm from Orange County originally anyway, man. It'll just be taking me back to my origin.
Let's go.
But yeah, I'm gonna get this thing out to him, and there's a bunch of just cool parts. I've got a 65 outside oiler that I bought off him, you know, that's sitting in his shop waiting to
go
in something. And you know, we've been talking for years about doing something for real. And yeah, I don't know. Seems like the time has come. So
it'd be a good way to get comfortable using them limbs and the feet.
Dude, just like, yes.
Not worrying about the balancing.
Yes, exactly. Put some like just...
It's kind of like learning how to ride a motorcycle in the dirt first.
Yes.
Where you're not worried about everything else. You can like, you know, it's just you and the bike. And then when you go to the street, all that other shit's dialed in and you can go back to balancing and looking at cars.
Totally.
Yeah,
and like,
you're on the right path.
I can run like just... fucking big badass dual discs in the back behind some Hoosiers or something like that, and you won't even fucking see them.
Yeah.
I can just do a spool up front with some or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm not like looking to do like a, you know, Ed Roth style thing. Like, I want like a chopper,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I want
just
more of a chopper of a trike than I've ever seen before.
Okay,
so
yeah, nothing, you know, extra.
No.
Not a bunch of body work on that.
No, no fiberglass, dude. Fuck that. Like,
exactly.
None of that.
It just makes it hard to climb in, dude.
Yeah, dude. I just want a chopper. Like, straight up, that's all I want. I want floorboards,
just
maybe.
Just something to keep your ass from getting sucked into the back wheels.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Someplace where your girls sit.
Yeah.
And then...
Yep. Just like a cool fender situation is the hardest thing I could think of to design. You know, in a way... Yeah, in a way to, like, let those fishtails fly way up high,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, like... I don't know, like, I think that's the way to do it, and I feel like the mechanics are all there.
Yeah.
And really, dude, it's like, shit, like, I got my family, I got my fucking, I'm making records, I'm more prolific as a songwriter than I've ever been.
Really? I mean, I've been seeing you've been singing like, on stage.
Yeah. I'm like
right on the
I'm halfway through an album that I promised myself I'd record one of my own songs every month this year, and I'm six deep.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah. It's like we're just into July and I've already got July's schedule July's session getting scheduled, and like I've got a show week after next, the 19th
at
the
Double Eye. I've seen that. You're doing a fundraiser, huh?
Yeah, raising money for children burn survivors.
Wow.
Which was like a thing when I was in the hospital to hear those kids, you know?
Like, dude, is this the first one you've done, or you've been doing
these? Last year we raised 10 grand, and I want to beat that this year.
Fucking incredible, dude.
Yeah, so I want to beat it this year, and, you know, I've been thinking pretty heavily about trying to see how far we can take it, so maybe we don't have to take anything away from raising them their 10 grand and still raising some more money for, you know, all these families that have been so just through it with these floods and all this shit that's just happened in the last few days.
Devastated. You know? And it's still raining.
Yeah, it's
fucking
right now.
Insane.
Pouring. When you and I have watched torrential downpours since we've been here. I drove through it on the way here to meet you, you know? But anyway, yeah, like, you know, hopefully we can do something for that too. And, you know, but yeah,
when
I don't know.
When is this? Tell me more.
July 19th at the Double Wide.
July 19th.
What it is, it's the... The anniversary of my accident is June 1st. I was traveling with my wife at the time and fucked things up for us doing it on that date, but whatever.
Is that what you did last year?
The last 3 years.
Last 3 years.
We did, like, starting the year after, the 1 year anniversary of that accident, I was on the fucking stage at the Double Wide singing, like, AC/DC or The Grateful Dead or something. So
that's awesome.
And then, like, we've done it every year since then, and I swear I'll keep doing it as long as people give a shit and want to show up to see it. But we just play a bunch of fun tunes, like, insanely talented dudes, and I'm not talking about myself, like, all the other dudes, insanely talented, playing just, like, Stones, Freddie King, Grateful Dead, you know, like... Just whatever, the Clash, like whatever we feel like, you know.
Yeah, you come up with a song list and up with songs they want you to sing. And
I just throw a bunch of songs at them and then I just wait and see what they say. They're like, I don't really want to do this one. I'm like, okay, yeah, scratch that one. Yeah, that's fine. Like, what about this one? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. So, but yeah,
that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, it's a blast, dude. And they're,
yeah,
you know,
awesome.
Our friend Bryce Dallas will be there doing tattoos and, like,
really?
Yeah, and there's, you know, liquor sponsors who are donating liquor so that they can do specialty cocktails at the bar, so that the proceeds from that can go to the charity. So,
wow.
You know, all of the proceeds go to charity. We've got other sponsors who help us. You know, I make sure to take care of everybody who's part of, like, the architecture of this thing, you know, to make sure that their time is accounted for. And everyone's really generous with that too. But it's like that, these sponsors allow me to be able to do that so that I can take all the proceeds from this night, everything from the door, everything from the merch, and donate it, you know?
Right.
We have all sorts of, like we've got a Norman Reedus autographed book that we're gonna auction off. We've got like my new good buddy, Billy Bob Thornton, donated some autograph things to auction off, you know,
really,
and like
cool.
Just like stuff, you know, just whatever. Like last year we auctioned off my buddy's Social Distortion sent us a guitar to auction off. We auctioned that off and I think we got $1,000 for it or something, you know, and like
nice.
That just goes to these kids, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like fuck. I mean, I don't know.
That's awesome. I mean,
just something, dude. You
That's
know,
awesome.
I kind of feel like anything positive that can come out of all this, it just moves it. You know, anything good that can come out of it just moves it further into that, like, net
I
positive,
think them just
you know?
Seeing, you
yes,
know, not only you donating, but like those kids seeing that you went through this and you're on stage fucking singing your heart out and, you know, helping them. And like, that's all amazing. Like, that's got to be incredible for them.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I hope that it inspires them to just like chase it and do it.
I mean, I think that's one of the coolest things to see you, like, it's got to be so much tougher to happen this to happen late in life, you know, like.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's six one way, half a dozen the other.
Yeah,
when you're young, you can adapt
quicker
and for just be ready for all of the rest of it, I suppose, depending, because all of these situations are different.
Yeah.
But dude, I think about it and I'm like, you know, I think I said this on Oliver's podcast, but it's like the guitar, dude. Like, what do I have to complain about, man? I got to play guitar for Christofferson. I got to open for the Buzzcocks and the Cult and Social D and Face to Face and like tour the fucking whole of North America at least with my heroes, you know, people that I looked up to before I was even in a band, you know, like wow. Yeah. I got to do incredible things. Like, what do I have to complain about? You know, like even with like fucking choppers, like getting to like rip through the West Texas desert, you know, next to the Rio Grande, going up towards Presidio and just ditching off the side to fucking take a swim in that dirty motherfucker.
So
you know,
sick.
Like, dude,
yeah.
Like I got to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't awesome. Have a lot to complain about. I'm no. just trying to get back to some of it, but mm-hmm. hey, if I can, I can,
one
you know,
step at a time.
But, I think that, you know, six one way, half a dozen the other, whether it happened, it just happens when it happens, mm-hmm. I suppose,
yeah.
you know? Might be even a little bit more difficult for somebody a little bit further along than I am, you know. I was, I guess, 43 when this happened, so, you know, presumably maybe halfway there if I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows, dude?
Yeah, who does know? Well, I'm stoked to see you getting on. I'm stoked to see a smile on your face. It was awesome last week seeing you fucking just howl at the moon while fucking...
Fuck.
Paul was ripping it on stage.
That was great, man.
It was. I was so glad that, you know, that we did that.
Oh, dude, I felt bad at first, and then it ended up. It was fun, man. It was cool.
Great.
I'm really glad we did that. That was awesome.
You know, I seen him do his fucking acoustic set there, which was incredible.
Yeah.
But the band, dude, the sound he's making is so good right now.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, I mean, it's just different. Even before I met him here.
Yeah,
that first album, it was like, this is just refreshing. It's like a new take. It's not like completely, like it's not, I don't know. It just didn't seem restrained, but it was still creative.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was nothing extremely new, but it was just a new.
Paul is
it's
like.
It's just great.
Paul is 100% Paul.
Yeah.
Like, all the fucking way.
Unapologetically Paul.
Yeah. And he did, there's collaboration for sure, you know, like. Jason Burt is downstairs right now. He's been a big part of Paul. Bo Bedford, my partner here, has been a big part of all these records. Like, we've had a lot of, we've gotten, like, really, like, I feel so privileged to have been able to be part of these albums because they're incredible, man.
They're great.
And Paul is such an insane songwriter, performer, singer, and he's a great friend, you know? Like, he was at the hospital the morning of my accident. Like, he hauled ass out to the hospital to be there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like, he's true fucking blue, man.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. Like, you say he's him.
He is 100%
Paul. He's done a lot of that shit in different places, but you can tell it's like...
Dude, and it might change a little bit. From, you know, this album to that album, then to this album. But it doesn't... It's not that it's... not Paul. It's always Paul.
Yeah.
It's always what Paul wants it to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to see him with a band is something special. To see him acoustic is something special.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and those musicians are fucking bad, dude.
Oh,
that drum was
insane.
Fucking sick.
Yeah, Luke
dude,
was great.
I love it all.
Luke was great. We had such a... We just like... Man, we just like stumbled in there just perfectly. Like, I like... You know, had you all drop me off at the back door, just walked in right as someone was opening, an employee there was opening the door, like, oh, come on in. I walk in, Paul's about to walk on stage. Luke just hands me his pass, and I just go around front to meet you guys.
Yeah.
You guys get in, and
we walked right in the back first.
Yeah. And then
we
all go back and just go upstairs, like, well, let's just go check out the balcony.
Yeah.
And there's like
two seats.
three of us and two seats.
The place was filled up.
Filled.
Dude. It was and filled.
I'm sorry.
What did he say? They oversold it a couple they did. Times. Yeah. So good.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it cool worked to see out. When we were in Tennessee, you know, he went through some shit this year. And then he rolls in on his bike. You know, and he was supposed to play there a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And then got arrested or some shit happened. Yeah. Canceled on the way there. Everybody was bummed. And then this year he rolled on his bike. You know, that's a pretty, that set the tone, dude. Everybody was pretty stoked about that.
Yeah,
you
dude.
Know, like.
Fuck yeah.
Because a lot of, I mean, even, especially there, a lot of the musicians ride. Like, they bring in a lot of musicians that ride motorcycles to play that event.
Yeah.
But they never ride their motorcycles to the event.
No. Dude, you know, you want to hear a story. How did this go, man? He had this bike called Blue Bayou 76 FLH, and there's a few different ways. I'll tell it the way that he told it, but he owed money to the studio. but he had some more recording he needed to get done too.
Yeah.
And so the deal was like, I'll give you Blue Bayou, we finish this record. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
And I got a fucking bike.
Yeah.
So I rode that thing a bunch. I sold it to Craig, pro skater, Craig Johnson.
Oh, nice.
Sold it to Craig Johnson, and he still rides it, I'm pretty sure.
He still rides it.
Fun as hell, man.
Well, that when I met him here, when we did that first podcast, he was like, you want to buy a shovel head? I'm like, no, I don't.
That's the one.
I mean, I do, but I don't, you know?
Well, I ended up with it, and then that ended up going towards buying my pan head, and, you know.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Yeah, went in the right direction.
Yeah.
That's wicked cool. Well, man, I appreciate you.
Yeah, likewise, bro.
I won't be in town for that gig. I wish I was. That's cool that you're doing that.
There'll be more.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to catch one on the anniversary. When you go back to June 1st.
Do it.
Because July is always fun for me. This is the longest I've been in Texas in July.
Yeah.
In years. But I'm glad I'm here.
Well, dude, yeah. I'm glad that this worked out. I'm glad that we got two Wednesdays.
I know, right? We should do this. We should do this more often.
Yes. Dude. Yeah,
thank
for sure.
And thank you for being such an inspiration.
Dude,
you
know, like, I'm just...
And taking this so man, cool. Like, I don't think you could be any cooler in this situation than
I'm just,
you
like,
are.
Stoked to fucking be here. And like I said, anything that anyone can take away from any of this and, like, build on and draw from is... That's just awesome. So, like, I, you know, I'm just living and loving being alive.
And when they ask me more about that fucking... Slide guitar tuning, I'm just going to send them your way.
That's fine.
Got it.
I got this. I'll talk their ear off about it.
Fuck me, dude. I almost forgot. Not only do you get a pair of White's boots for winning a Kickstarter competition, you get a badass belt buckle thanks to Choppers Magazine. And it's sick. And I fucking wish I was going to win one of them. Anyways, we're at the tire shop now. We had a blowout. We're getting her fixed up. It's fucked. I don't know how my wife drove on the rim for as long as she did without noticing. Still didn't even notice till somebody pulled up next to her and told her. But we're getting it taken care of. Fucking A. Thank you, Choppers Magazine.